My Bible lesson today is taken from the same scriptural reading that I read yesterday. 1 Peter, the first chapter. I'm going to read again, verses 3, 4, and 5. Peter said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation." In the book of Jude, we find this same thought of God's keeping us. Jude put it this way in the 24th verse of his writings. Jude said, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." God is able to keep you from falling. You may have stumbled, you may have wandered, but God, like a parent, keeps an eye on you. God will keep you from falling. Your face will never touch the ground if you'll just abide with Jesus. He is the keeper. Listen to what the Bible said about David in 2 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 6, the Bible says that the Lord preserved David wheresoever he went. Job said it like this, "Thou hast granted me life and favor and hath preserved my spirit." In Psalms 37 and 28, the writer says, "For the Lord loves judgment, and saketh not his saints, they are preserved forever. But the wicked is reserved to the day of destruction." And then we find in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abraham, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward." God told Abraham, "I'm your shield." A shield is something that stands between you and danger. God said to Abraham, "I am that shield. I am the one that stands between you and danger, between you and failure." That lets me know that it is God that stands between me and falling, between me and the devil, that stands between me and the things that would come against me and destroy me. God is my shield. I am kept behind the shield of my Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I have realized that the achievement of victory in my life depends on me relying on God's power. Just as it takes faith to receive a work of grace, so it takes faith to keep it. The writer of the Hebrews makes it plain that this was Israel's great failure. They failed. They failed through an evil heart of unbelief. Satan knows that faith is the link that holds men to God. Consequently, he makes his greatest attack on faith and your faith in the Word. Ever since that old snake deceived Eve by saying, "Has God surely said?" The devil will come to you with questions about the Word of God. You read something and you know it's right, but the devil will say, "Did God actually say that? Is this what God really wants?" Don't listen to the questioning of the devil. Just read the Word and believe the Word and allow the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to lead and guide you in that which you read. If you want to be an overcomer, believe God. Believe His Word. Cast yourself wholeheartedly on the promises of God. You must resist every temptation to doubt or disbelief. A single act of faith can move mountains of despair and hopelessness. The overcoming Christian knows beyond doubt that God can do exceedingly, abundantly, above anything that they could ask or even think. Although faith on our part provides the connection, the real power to defeat sin and overcome evil lies in God Himself. It is the power of God that keeps us. Paul, who constantly was beset by sin, demonstrated overcoming power. Paul admitted that it was no longer him that lived, but Christ that lived in him, and the life which he was now living in the flesh, he lived by faith in the Son of God, who loved him and gave himself for him. Paul declared that we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. The victorious seeking believer will open himself up to this power by his dedication, humility, and obedience. But the bottom line is that the power is not the result of himself, but of God. I was about to step away from the microphone when the Spirit told me, tell the people what you read yesterday. What you read yesterday about an earlier church member. So I will. You remember in John the 13th chapter, in verse 37, Peter said, I will lay down my life for your sake. Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the cock shall not crow till you have denied me twice. It would appear that that was the end of the conversation. But do you know what Jesus said to Peter in the next verse? In the next verse, Jesus tells Peter, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus is telling Peter, I know you're going to deny me. I know you think you are a fighter, but I know you are a runner. You'd rather run than fight when it gets right down to it. You think you're strong, but Peter, I know your weakness. I know you. But don't let your hearts be troubled. You believed in God. Believe in me. Keep on believing in me. Peter, I know the devil seeks to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you. Let not your heart be troubled because of your weaknesses, because of your stumblings, because of your failures. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, because I have the power to keep you. Oh, hallelujah. If you have walked the path that Peter has walked, you stumbled, you failed, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Jesus. He is able to keep that which you have committed unto him.